What's up, everybody? Welcome to the third episode of Rejected Critics. I am Tyler with my co-host here, Brian. Say hi.
Hello.
So we are going to do this a little different than normal. We're not going to do like what we've watched because it's been, what, 3 or 4 weeks, I think?
It has been.
It's been a long time. I was sick for 2 weeks, and then I believe one of us got busy the week after that, I think.
Probably, yeah.
I think a tree. Was that the week that the tree fell in my yard?
Could have been, yeah.
So we're just going to skip the usual, you know, what we watched, what we've done this week, and we're going to go right into it. We have three movies today. Which one do you want to start with, Brian?
Let's save the best for last. So let's start in the order that we've seen them. So let's start 3 weeks ago.
So you want to do Ready Player One, correct?
Yeah, let's get that over with.
All right. So Ready Player One came out probably about a month ago now, directed by Steven Spielberg. It made a pretty decent amount of money for what it was because there wasn't that many people that was really interested in it, other than the people that read the book, of course. But even I heard the book was kind of everywhere, kind of just like the movie was. So people like it a lot. Some people hate it a lot. But what did you think of the movie? Go ahead and give me a grade, and then tell me what you thought of the movie itself.
A grade. I would have to say, I'm not going to be completely rude, I would have to say that it's a solid D.
A D?
Yes.
As in dog?
Yes.
Wow.
If we're going on an A to F scale.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. Wow.
With
I,
no
I didn't
E
think it
because
would be,
nobody uses E's anymore.
I didn't think it was going to be that low. So again, we're not going to take too long on it, but why are you grading it a D?
I mean, I don't even know where to start. I hated it overall. It was the longest 2.5 hours of my life. I felt every minute in that theater. And the storyline was very interesting to me. I'm not a huge, I don't know what you want to call it, sci-fi fanatic.
I would say it was more fantasy than sci-fi, okay. Because it sci-fi to me, when I think sci-fi, I think like Star Wars, Star Trek, like something in space.
Okay.
This was more video gamey, Lord of the Rings type of. Yeah, I'd go fantasy on that one.
Okay. Well, regardless, it was not my cup of tea. I had a hard time making a connection with the story. And, I mean, as you know, I'm not a huge video game fan. You know, I play Grand Theft Auto every once in a while. But other than that, not really a fan. So I just think I had a hard time kind of understanding the movie and connecting with it. And, I don't really know what else to say about it. I mean,
yeah,
it's
been a little while since we saw it, so we're not completely fresh on it. I would give it like I'm almost where you're at. I think I would give it a C-. I don't think it's quite the D for me, just because it was shot very well and the CG literally looked good. The CG didn't look like shit like a lot of other movies does.
Don't get me wrong. It was a beautifully shot movie. Like the images were phenomenal that were coming across the screen. And you know, with it being a Spielberg movie and what have you, I thought it was very well done, very well shot. It's just the storyline was not one suited for a movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was. You could definitely tell that it was a book, because I'm sure in the book it gave a lot more detail. And I actually hear that the book, like some of the challenges are different and more, you know, well performed, because pretty much what this movie is it's a video game. They call it the Oasis, I believe.
Yes.
You know, people from real life, if they catch this, if they crack these codes and do these challenges, they will get the entire video game. They will get access to the whole video game because the creator died, and that's, you know, the wealthiest thing you could you know, it's all about money in the end.
Yes.
So I hear in the story, with the movie that it's different than the book because the challenges are actually different. I think Spielberg actually mixed with the challenges to make it a little bit more film friendly. So yeah, I would give it a C minus. Again, it's a Spielberg movie. It looks amazing, but you know, Spielberg hasn't had a great movie in a long time. So like a legitimately good movie. Yeah,
well, I mean, he had what, Lincoln?
Well, yeah, but Lincoln came out years ago.
It wasn't years. It was probably like 2014.
Lincoln? 2014.
Yeah. Well, let me look that up.
I'll look it up real quick. It had to be. It had to be before that. Lincoln.
Oh, 2012.
2012. So it's been 6 years since Lincoln, and he won an Oscar for Lincoln, which was a good movie. But that's 6 years, and this is Spielberg. He came out with plenty of movies.
Right.
So,
you know, and I think it also has to do with kind of what you're interested in. I mean, there might be people who absolutely loved Ready Player One who hated Lincoln. I mean, it depends, at least in my mind, about what you can sit through in 2.5 hours. I mean, yeah, you give somebody a story about Abraham Lincoln who's not into history, they're going to think the same thing I thought about Ready Player One, because I can't relate to, or I'm not interested in the subject matter. So I think that played a huge part into why I disliked it so much. And it's difficult too, because, I mean, if I remember seeing it correctly, Ready Player One in book form, it's quite lengthy. It's a pretty big book.
Yes, it's a very big book.
And that always poses a challenge to try to cram as much as that into, you know, 2.5 hours or into a movie that's going to keep people's attention. And, you know, sometimes you hit the mark, sometimes you miss the mark. And just in my opinion, I think the mark was a miss.
Yeah. No, I agree. Again, it's a C-minus for me. The only positive I have is I am a huge video game fan. I knew most of the references, most of the characters that were in it. I knew because I play a lot of video games. But the story itself was just bland. It was just a cut and paste, like, hey, here's a challenge. The main character is the smartest character in the movie. It had a love interest, which wasn't earned at all. They just met in real life, and then they fell in love.
Yeah.
And the main character, so the guy, was just not. I wouldn't say he's a bad actor. I think it was.
But
a
he was relatively
for him.
He was relatively unknown. I mean, name me another movie that main actor was in.
I don't know another movie.
He's
a new up-and-comer, but the character itself, like, you just didn't care about.
Right.
He was kind of an asshole the entire movie. You didn't care if he did the challenges. You had no sympathy for him. You know, it was just, there was no heart in this movie at all.
Right.
Like, you just didn't care about what happened.
I mean, the only thing that kind of kept me, I wouldn't even say interested, but just kind of kept me going through it was, you know, the 80s nods and the 80s soundtrack. And, you know, I appreciated, you know, the pop culture references and things like that. But, I mean, other than that, I did not care at all about what happened either way.
Yeah, no. And I haven't met a single person that actually liked this movie, that actually saw this movie and liked it. I haven't met anybody yet. They all say, you know, it was okay, middle of the road. You know, it was, Olivia Cooke's in it, which I am a huge Olivia Cooke fan. I think everything that she's in, she does fantastic. And
now,
is
that the chick from, Bates Motel?
Yes. That's a girl from Bates Motel. She was in, she's in a couple of indie movies as well. But she does great in everything she does. She's very believable, but again, she's the love interest, and the love was just like they met in the game. She helped him in the game. He found the first clue. She wanted to tag along. They meet in real life, and then they fall in love. And then everything's on from there. And there was moments in the movie where they like infiltrated this the corporation, like the main corporations who's going after them. They infiltrated their building like nothing ever happened. This right. is a billion-dollar corporation with tons and tons of bodyguards everywhere, and they're just in the middle of the
yep.
corporation, right in front of the boss, with no one around. Like, they just walked in.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't
believable. I mean,
there was nothing about this movie that was believable. And I like the premise of it. Like, I like how, because I think eventually in the real world, I think VR is going to take off. There's already VR everywhere. You can get VR on the PlayStation, VR on the, the computer. You can even get VR porn now. So I think VR is going that way, to a point where full body suits like this movie, you actually feel like you're in that world. So I like that concept, because eventually that might be how the world is. Like 100 years down the road, 200 years down the road, that might be how it is. But nothing in this movie was believable. Nothing really made sense, other than you doing these challenges. The first person that gets these challenges gets the company. That's the movie.
Right.
He gets the company at the end. Spoiler alert, and nothing else happens.
I mean, pretty much.
Yeah, like that. That's it. Correct me if I'm wrong. At the end, he stopped the game, right? Like, he shut down the game for certain times of the week so people could live an outside life
in a world
that was kind of not existent.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds right. It's been 3 weeks. I've tried to erase much of it from my memory.
so we're going to drop this one. It wasn't great. I wouldn't suggest it. I mean, we have MoviePass, so we went and saw it for free pretty much, but
yeah.
I would not suggest someone paying money for this.
I mean, I'm interested to know, just theoretically speaking, hypothetically speaking, if you will, if Steven Spielberg was not attached to this movie, would it have been as successful as it had been?
No, not one bit. The only reason I saw it was because Spielberg. Because okay. I love Spielberg. I mean, he made Jaws, for God's sake, which is one of the best movies ever made. So, no, honestly, no. No one, that was the only talking point of this movie, was how it was shot and how Spielberg's touch was on it. If that wasn't there, I think this movie would have been a complete bust, which it did make some money. It did pretty decent for, you know, a relatively bad to okay movie.
What's also a movie that falls to a specific niche, if you will. I mean, it's playing toward a specific audience. I think it did well for such a specifically, group of audience that it was targeting. I mean, I think it still made out pretty well.
Think about it, though. So what you just said, think about what you just said. It's for a specific audience.
Absolutely.
I don't even know what that audience is, because it...
I don't either.
It's not necessarily for the video game audience, because, yeah, there's some video game characters. Like, I saw Tracer from Overwatch, which I played a lot of Overwatch in my day. I saw some Street Fighter guys, which Street Fighter is my favorite game of all time. Like, I play a lot of video games, and I didn't
and, I mean,
like
those,
this movie.
You know, even in that respect, those were just background characters for me. I mean, I had no idea who any of those people were.
They were just running. They were no part of the movie, really. They're right. just running for, you know, just in the background running. So, yeah, I mean, if I didn't have MoviePass, I would have not seen this movie.
But right.
MoviePass is great, so, you know, we gave it a chance, really. So,
without further ado,
a movie that is probably my personal disappointment of the year.
Because you're dying to see.
Yes, I've been waiting to see this for a very long time, ever since it was announced. It was a weird opening to this movie because it came out on a day, but that was only a limited release. So they never really specified if it was limited or wide. So I was waiting on this movie for what, 3 or 4 weeks just to be around us so we can go see it. So Isles of Dogs, directed by Wes Anderson, which did Fantastic Mr. Fox, which did a lot of movies, mostly good movies. Wes Anderson has like maybe one or two bad movies or, not enjoyable movies in his collection, but he's been directing for like 20 years. So he has a very specific style, as you can tell with this movie. But I am one of my favorite genres ever is claymation. I love stop motion. I love claymation movies. I'm a humongous sucker for them. Probably my in my top five favorite movies is Corpse Bride and A Nightmare Before Christmas, just because I love the way it looks. I love the style. I love the clay. So when they announced this movie, I was like, well, this is a no-brainer. Wes Anderson and a bunch of dogs, that's claymation. No-brainer. So I believe this movie's only like 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Yes.
And my God, it felt like 2.5 hours for me. Like this movie disappointed me, and
I mean, it felt long.
it felt
I don't
long.
think it was as dreadful as Ready Player One was. I mean,
Man, I don't.
I was intrigued the whole time. I thought it was unique, not like something I'd seen before. Granted, I don't watch a lot of claymation movies like yourself, but it was strange.
It was, yeah, I think he went. So let's start with our grade, because we always start with the grade. So what would you grade this movie? It's a tough one. It really is.
Erring on the side of being generous, I would probably give it a B minus.
Really?
I would. Because, and
Wow.
it's like I told you when we left the theater, I mean, I didn't hate it. It was not my favorite movie, but I didn't hate it.
That is surprising that you went that high. I'm gonna give this a middle of the road C. I was just hugely disappointed in this. I thought it just didn't connect with me. The story was, I don't even know how to describe it because I watch a lot of cartoons. Me and my son watch a lot of cartoons. We watch a lot of cartoon shows. So it's not like it was too kiddish or too this. I don't think this is necessarily a kids movie.
It
Like
was not meant for kids.
I feel like if I went and saw this with a child, I feel like they wouldn't understand what's going on.
Well, I mean, it's funny you say that too, because there's a coworker of mine who also has MoviePass who we see a lot of the same movies. And that same weekend that we went to see Isle of Dogs, he also went to see it. And that was the first thing we said to each other. This was not a kids movie. And I said, when we went, it was predominantly kids in that theater.
Yes, a lot of surprisingly, when we went, there was almost a full theater.
Yes, there was. And this was what, 4 weeks after opening? I
Yeah,
mean,
very surprising that. But I mean, the movie opens with a dog ripping another dog's ear off in a fight.
yes. Yeah, and
So.
I think parents probably were surprised because I think they expected it to be, oh, this happy movie that has dogs in it and the boy's going to be reunited with his dog and all's going to be happy in the end.
Well, let
And the
me
movie
blow your
was not
mind here.
that.
Let me blow your mind because I didn't know this when we actually went and saw this. This
Okay.
is a PG-13 movie.
Really?
Really? Yes. When I did a little bit, because when I saw it, obviously I was disappointed. It just didn't connect with me. I was bored most of the time. I was passing out in the middle some of the time, really. But when I came home, I was like, you know what? All the critics love this movie. Like, it has a 90% on Rotten Tomato. All the reviews are very positive. So I started looking into it, started reading some reviews here and there. And that's when I noticed this is a PG-13 movie. It's not a PG like I thought it was. So maybe mm-hmm. that's why it got... There wasn't necessarily any cuss words. It was like a damn and a hell here and there, but...
No, but I think it was the subject matter.
Yeah, the subject matter and the way they depicted, like, a Japanese culture, because this is a very Japanese-cultured movie, which... You know, as I was reading some of those reviews, some of the critic reviews, they were like, you know what, you just have to understand the Japanese culture, blah, 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 blah. And I don't agree with that at all, because I watch a lot of anime and I understand a lot of anime. So I probably watch more Japanese television than American television. So I'm usually pretty good with that type of stuff. Like, the first mm-hmm. movie we reviewed was Your Name, which is an anime, Japanese. And it just didn't connect with me at all. I was bored. Like, I think one of the main problems is there was no subtitles. So when people would talk, because it was divided between... the dog side, when they're on the island, you know, the boy lands on the island, they're trying to find his particular dog that he lost because dogs have been exiled from the real world, which is Japan. So it would go back between politics with Japan and then back to the dog island, where the dogs were the main characters, pretty much. They were the ones that the camera was mostly on. So... when it was with the politics side on Japan, they were speaking in Japanese and there was no subtitles. Right. There was occasionally like an English translator.
Right.
But that just didn't work for me.
And like, you know, I hated that at first too. Because, you know, I was like, well, you know, I want to know what the people are saying. Like, I want to be able to understand it. But I mean, the movie is centered around these dogs, and I mean, I don't feel like I missed anything by not hearing or by not understanding what the people were saying.
I don't see, again, I'm going to bring anime in, and that might be unfair, but it is what it is. So I watch a lot of anime, and I watch a lot of my anime with subtitles, with Japanese audio. So I know for a fact that if you watch the same exact show, if you watch it one time subtitled and one time in English, so if it's dubbed in English, there's a lot of things that are just completely different. Like, the translation does not work like that. So one person is speaking Japanese, one person speaking English.
Right.
It was hard for me to be like, oh, well, that's what he's really saying, or that's what she's really saying, because I'm just so used to it being so different from real life Japanese television. So that, I think, was a huge... I hated that about this movie. I could not stand that. There was no point for it. You're making this for an American audience.
Right.
There was no point for it. You could have at least put subtitles up. Because I know kids were probably like, what's going on right now? Like,
right.
He's speaking a different language. There's just... I understand that Wes Anderson went completely in the Japanese subculture of this. And, you know, that was a judgment on him. That's what he wanted to do with this. It's his movie. He wrote it. But I hated that about
this movie. But, I mean, I'm going to take his side on it for just 1 second and say, me personally, and I know that I'm in the minority when it comes to this, but the one thing I cannot stand is I cannot stand having to read a movie. I hate subtitles. And so I'm glad he did not put subtitles in. Because if I would have had to sit there and read the movie, I'd much rather not know what they're saying. Okay. If I'm still able to make sense of the movie, that's all that matters. I don't want to have to sit there and read a movie. That's not why I watch a movie. And I know I'm in the minority for that. Because... many people have told me that over the years. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad that he just kind of left it as kind of the mysterious aspect of the movie, you know, not knowing what the Japanese are saying, have you. On a completely unrelated note, can I just chime something in? I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for this movie currently.
Okay, go ahead.
And this has nothing to do with anything we're talking about, but I found it interesting.
All right.
So you know that I'm a huge Broadway fan.
Yes.
Broadway is life for me. And one of the producers of this movie is a guy by the name of Scott Rudin. And I don't know if you know who he is, but he is a big-time Broadway producer. So I found it very interesting that he kind of threw his hat in the ring with getting this movie produced.
That is interesting.
I don't know where
from Broadway, this movie has no singing.
Right. Well, and I mean, Broadway doesn't have to have singing. I mean, he produces plays and stuff too. But just for him to, you know, kind of not throw his money toward Broadway, but instead throw it toward producing a film centered around culture, I found now, kind of interesting.
If you really think about it, because I also, another one of my gripes with this movie is it was a lot of, now I get claymations a lot of time, a lot of work, like stop motion is just a grueling process really, but a lot of this movie was close-ups on the dogs or the people, and then there was a lot of just, and I mean way too much of just the dogs walking, and they were just walking. And
yeah.
The background would just change. Like, it was just kept changing. The camera wasn't necessarily following them. It was just a still shot. The dogs just continuously walking, and the background changed. So now that you say that, that makes a lot of sense, because that's what plays do. That's what Broadways do. They just change the backgrounds and have a still shot. You know, the audience is a still shot. So a lot of this movie is just still shots with the background changing.
I mean, they've become more inventive in modern theater, but yes, still the same concept.
So that makes a lot of sense. I mean, the movie looked good. That is my one positive about this movie. It did look good. It was very creative, like the way that it looked in all the clay, but I also found it very lazy.
I mean,
what I just said.
Right.
It was just a lot of close-ups and a lot of just dogs walking in the background changing.
Like, I think the thing that sums it up for me, and not to cut you off, but the thing that sums it up for me is, for such an all-star cast that it had, I think I expected a lot more.
Yes. Yes. I expected a lot more. I was so excited for this movie because Fantastic Mr. Fox was just world. Fantastic Mr. Fox is like an A movie. Like, the plot worked. Everything made perfectly good sense. You know, this movie, Isles of Dogs, it's all about the boy finding his dog.
And, which, I mean, on the surface sounds like a great storyline, especially for kids.
Yeah, but then he found his dog. I mean, we're going to spoil it a little bit here, but he found his dog, and then the dog didn't want him, so he just moved on to the next dog.
Yes.
Like, that was the whole story. And then back in Japan, with the politics, you know, they just walk in there with the dogs. The boy walks in there with the dogs and is like, look, we can fix this disease, which is why you exiled these dogs anyway, and that's it. The guy was like, yep, it's over. Like, I get that it's a simple thing, but it just did not work for me at all. I don't know. I just did not like it. I thought it was very bland. I thought it was very lazy. I thought the writing wasn't very good. The only thing that I liked was the claymation, because I'm a sucker for it.
On the jump down, you know, for Cleveland.
I'm very honest about that. I'm an absolute sucker for claymation.
I mean, I do at least try to think that it had like a stronger kind of point that it was trying to make. I mean, if you remember, like, you know, not to give any spoilers away, but the dog that he ends up, you know, yeah, the dog he went there to find says, you know, I don't want to be with you anymore, whatever. But then the dog that he does end up caring for was the stray. And You know, I would like to think that it had a little bit of like, kind of like, emotional value, where it was like, oh, you know, strays need love too, or you know,
yeah, but
I would like
care
to think,
about him.
No,
it
you
wasn't,
didn't
because
he was
earned.
Such right because he was such, for lack of a better word, a dick through the whole movie. The stray dog was that you
yes.
were just like you just wrote him off automatically, like. Oh, he's going to be, you know, just rude the whole time and angry. And you didn't really build the relationship that I think they were anticipating.
No, in the boy, he didn't talk. He didn't speak English. And there was nothing for him. There was no subtitles. There was no English translation. He would speak and just kind of yell at the dogs or whatever. And you didn't understand anything.
Right.
And his facial expressions did not work. It didn't explain anything. So, like, yeah, the stray dog, which I believe his name was Spot, right?
Chief.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chief. Spot was his original dog that
yes.
he was looking for. Yep.
Yes.
So, Chief, you didn't care. Like, I literally sat in my seat and I didn't care. I was like, well, this is really dumb. Like, why is he getting... when the other dogs in the pack were much better dogs. They
mm-hmm.
were much more deserving to be like, oh, let me live this high life with this boy. And then once they got the dogs back to Japan, like where they were like, oh, all the dogs come back, everybody can have dogs again, the movie just ends. You don't see any, like, happy moment. You don't see anything. You see the original dog, which was Spot, which was who the boy was looking for, with his... I guess girlfriend dog under a bridge eating garbage. Like that's how it ended. There was no
yeah,
happy
but didn't
ending,
they?
Like...
Didn't they erect a statue for one of the dogs, like as a hero? Was that Spot?
Was
that Chief?
Yeah, which was the dog that was just a dick the entire
right,
movie.
Right, the stray.
That...
Yeah.
Didn't deserve anything. Like it just did not work for me on so many levels. That I mean that's it. I don't. As I'm sitting here talking, I'm wondering why I gave it a C. But I think I just liked the way it looked so
yeah.
much. I think that's where it's bailing me out here. But that being said, I thought it was lazy. I thought. A lot of it didn't make sense. I thought that all the characters were very, you know, unearned with most of this stuff. I thought the plot, for the most part, there was too much walking. There was too much downtime. There was too much nothing happening at all.
Right.
I was bored, man. I was honestly bored in this movie, and it was only an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a big one, you know?
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I don't feel like I hated it as much as you did. I would gladly take that over Ready Player One any day. But, I mean, it wasn't the best thing I've seen.
I got to be honest with you. As I'm sitting here thinking, so if I had to buy a Blu-ray and I had to watch a movie with my girlfriend tonight, I would probably go Player One.
No, there's no way.
I probably would, because I have no want to watch this movie again at all. And it might just be because my hopes were really high. So it might have just shattered my hopes and dreams, which is possible. But I had a lot of excitement for this movie. And with all the reviews coming in saying how good it was, how everybody loved it, I just didn't feel like that at all. So,
yeah,
That's my ending point. Do you have anything else to say about it?
No, I mean, I think we should move on to probably the one movie that out of the past 3 weeks that we both enjoyed.
Yes. Yes. All right. So let's go to that. So with this movie, we will spoil a little bit, I guess, with the conversation that we have. But I'm not going to do a plot for this because... I feel like everybody should see this movie.
Yes.
Because it is my favorite movie of the year by far so far. So any movie that we've seen this year, this is it. And it might, I was telling you before, looking at the schedule of movies this year, I don't know what's going to beat this movie. Like, I'm sure there's going to be some weird indies that come out that's phenomenal, but I don't see anything beating this movie.
I mean, it's in my top movies so far this year. We both know what my number one movie is still.
Yes, you really enjoy Love, Simon. Yes,
This movie was up there so far.
So I want to hear you first, because you are not a Marvel fan. You don't watch superhero movies, and really, you didn't. What movies have you seen in the Marvel Cinematic Universe before this movie?
You want me to be completely honest with you?
Yes, I do.
I was forced to watch Civil War, which...
So good.
I hated.
So good. God damn, that's so good.
And then after that, and I'm probably going to get a lot of hate for this, the only other Marvel movie that I've seen that at least I recall seeing was the Spider-Man Homecoming movie, which
also
I absolutely
phenomenal.
Loved. I loved that movie.
Phenomenal.
But that's pretty much it.
Okay, so you've seen two movies, and this is the 19th movie.
I would call it one and a half, because I didn't see... I was only half paying attention to Civil War.
Okay. All right, so either way, this is the 19th movie in the franchise, which just saying that number is insane. I don't know any other franchise that had everything looped together for 19 movies and it all makes sense. It's amazing. Like Harry Potter was only 9. So this is it's insane to think about. So tell me what you think after seeing 1.5 movies of this universe.
I think although it's obvious, I think we failed to mention the title of the movie. So we are talking about Infinity War.
I think everybody knows what we're talking about. This movie made $250 million this weekend.
And I know a lot of people who have seen it. I mean, we've talked about it at work for the past 3 days now.
Everybody has seen it. Literally everybody has seen it. So go ahead. I'm going to take a very, very quick bathroom break.
Okay.
Because, again, I've been drinking a little bit for this podcast. So go ahead and give your tell me what you think about it, and I'll literally be a minute, okay?
Okay. All right. So, let's start with the grade. I think I would have to give this movie I'm going to give it an A. For the reason that I don't think that I enjoyed the aspect of you didn't have to see the previous 19 movies to understand what was happening in this one. I think it did a very good job at kind of explaining how we got to the point that we were at. And so I think that's why I enjoyed it so much.
So let me get this straight. You are giving it an A, and you haven't seen... most of the movies.
Right. Because of the fact that I think it can, at least for me, stand alone. I don't think that it was necessary to see the other 19 movies to understand what was going on in this movie. Now, if I would have went in that theater and I would have been lost the whole time, the grade would be drastically different.
I 100% agree with you. This is an absolute A+ for me. I've watched every I've seen all 19 movies. I've been watching them pretty much everyone in theaters since it came out with Iron Man 1 back in 2008, because it's 10 years now. I think this is one of the most impressive things I've ever seen, for the simple fact that, yes, it was 19 movies all adding up to this. Like, this is part one of 10 years. So every single movie up to this has came up to this moment, which, you know, with the other 18 movies before this, a lot of them were just like, here's Iron Man 1, we got a villain in this one. Here's Iron Man 2, we got a villain in this one. You know, Thor pops up here and there. But this movie, like, we saw Thanos for the first time in Avengers 1, which came out in, like, 2011. So, and all we saw was him turn his head at the theater. So, he literally just turned his head at the camera, and we've been waiting for this moment since then. That's been 8 years.
Well, let me back up really quick and say that let me change my count to 2.5, because I did just remember that we saw Black Panther.
Oh, Black Panther was so good. And Black Panther popped up in this movie, and it made perfect sense for you, didn't it?
It did, yes. It was nice to connect what we saw in Black Panther to, you know, what we saw in this movie. And I think I would have had the same reaction had I seen 17 movies or whatever it is.
Once you sit back and actually think about what Kevin Feige did, which Kevin Feige is the head of Marvel Films, like, nothing, everything goes through him. He had this vision back in 2008. Everybody made fun of him. Everybody was like, this is never going to happen. I read an article quite frequently, actually, that said when Loki, which you know who Loki is.
Yeah. He's
the brother of Thor. He died in the beginning of this movie. Spoiler alert. When Loki met with him, when he got his call back for Thor 1, you know, years and years ago, this wasn't even in the conversation. Avengers wasn't even a thing. So, but I read this article, and Tom Hiddleston, who plays Loki, was like, yeah, I met with Kevin Feige, and he sat me down, and he was like, look, if everything works out the way I have it in my head, you're going to be doing this for a very long time, and we're going to make history here. And this is history. It's insane. Look what happened since then. You had 3 Avenger movies, and you had a boss that's been tormenting the Earth pretty much for 8 years. You had everybody come together for the last 10 years. So going into this movie, I was expecting this to be a train wreck, honestly. And I think I told you that. I told everybody that, like, you know, yeah, I'm very excited for it, but there's so many plot lines going through. There's so many characters that's going to be in this. The count of main characters was 64, by the way. 64
really?
Superheroes are in this movie.
Okay.
I thought it was going to be a train wreck. I was like, there's no way that they're going to make everything make sense. There's no way that people aren't just going to be like popping up and dying, or like popping up for one line and then disappearing for the rest of the movie.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that's what's, you know, to piggyback off of that, I think that's what one of the things I enjoyed the most about it is that even though I couldn't tell you the backstory of any of these superheroes, I enjoyed the fact that you got to see them all, and, you know, you weren't seeing the same 3 people for 2.5 hours. I mean, you got to see a variety of people, and, you know, it was different kind of, I don't want to say storylines because it was all one storyline, but, you know, you had different aspects
of
the story. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can say storylines because every single person in this movie has had their own movie or 2 or 3. Like, so every single person has a backstory here.
Right, but I think what I was trying to get at is I enjoyed how they all kind of at least came together to kind of work toward that one central goal of, you know, defeating Thanos. Is that his name?
Yes, Thanos, which is Josh Brolin, which did phenomenal. So this is literally a Thanos movie. Piggybacking off of what you just said, that, you know, you saw everybody, you did see everybody in this movie, and everybody had a lot of screen time. So it was a 2 hour and like 40 minute movie, I would say.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like that. It felt like an hour movie. Like I was never right. bored. It right. never dragged.
Well, I mean, it's like I told you as soon as we walked out of the theater, I said, you know, we saw Ready Player One. That was 2.5 hours.
Yep.
I said, I felt every minute of that 2.5 hours. With this movie, I did not feel like I was in the theater for, you know, 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Yeah, and that's how I felt with Isles of Dogs. I felt every minute of that movie. So, I'm not going to go into, plot details. I'm not going to go into the big things like that. Because I really think that everybody should go see this movie, which obviously they probably already have because it made so much money. I think the total worldwide for just this weekend was $637 million for 3 days.
That's crazy.
It's insane. It's going to be the fastest movie to a billion. I know people that have seen it 3 times already.
Well, I mean, you think in the world of MoviePass, which, I mean, has its own issues currently, but so you think about all those people who have MoviePass who are seeing this for free and it's still managed to make, well, I guess, I mean, the theater, and I guess maybe that's still, that ticket price still is incorporated into the overall.
Yeah, I think it is. Gross. But now with MoviePass, you can only see it once with the MoviePass, and then you have to pay. So that's a lot of people paying.
Is that for sure? Did they actually change that?
Yep, I looked at my app. So if you actually go in your app right now and look up Infinity War, it'll say you already seen this movie. You can't do it again.
Really?
Really, it's official. So you can look on your phone right now if you want.
I'm pulling it up.
But this This is a Thanos movie. We've been waiting on this guy to pop up. We knew that he tried to destroy New York City. We knew he's been trying to destroy the world and the universe, really. He's trying to pretty much wipe out half the universe, which is the plot of this movie. And he is in this movie a lot, and he is fucking fantastic. Every scene he's in, he's so cool and collective. He's like, you can tell he's the most powerful person in the universe. And as I'm sitting here thinking about it, I thought about this a lot. The opening scene of this movie, which I'm going to spoil, the opening scene of this movie, I think, is the best opening to any movie I've ever seen in my life. Let me explain that, Brian.
I'm struggling to remember the opening.
The opening is, it opens up with Thor, Loki, and Thanos. And it literally opens straight up to this. So Thanos, and I believe Hulk's there as well. So they're trying to stop Thanos because he's trying to get the Power Stone at this time, which is the Purple Stone.
Yes, okay.
And it opens up with him killing Loki.
Yes.
And him beating the shit out of Thor. And the best part of this scene is the Hulk, which is, in any movie the Hulk's been in, he's been like, no one fucks with the Hulk. Like, he is the powerful guy. Thanos beat him up like it was a Dragon Ball Z episode. The Hulk didn't even put a touch on him. And let me tell you why that's so important. Because the rest of the movie, the Hulk doesn't come back out to play because he is so scared of Thanos, which sets up this entire movie that Thanos is the toughest dude in the universe. He is he's the ultimate god. That sets up the entire movie so good that I can't think of another movie opening that sets up a movie like that. Like, from that very scene, you know that Thanos is here to stay and he's not messing around. He kills Loki, which has been in like 4 or 5 movies before this. He just kills him in the first 5 minutes of the movie and then beats the shit out of Hulk. And then Hulk never shows his face again because he's scared of Thanos.
I didn't make that connection. I mean, I saw that, you know, the Hulk was having troubles coming out or whatever.
He was telling Bruce Banner no. He kept telling him no.
Right, I caught that. I didn't make the connection in my head. But I do have one question, being the Marvel stranger that I am.
Okay.
Who was the, and just because I thought he looked super cool, who was the little, I don't know how to describe him, the little gray guy with Thanos?
So there was two like ambassadors for Thanos. I forget his name right now. You're talking about the one that like splits the car in half?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was fucking awesome.
Yeah, I loved him completely.
I knew his name and it's just escaping me right now. It's probably the alcohol. Yeah, but no, he was phenomenal. So he's literally just Thanos's like right and left hand man. So he's really just helping him try to take over the world. But everything about this movie, it's shot well, it's paced incredible. The Russo brothers, which directed this, it's two of them. They directed Civil War and they directed the Winter Soldier, so Captain America Winter Soldier as well, before this, which in my eyes are the two best movies other than this, because I think this is top now. So you know they know how to do an action scene. This entire movie is fighting and this entire movie looks amazing. There's a couple like CG moments that really threw me off, like when Thor got his hammer back, because they had to make a new hammer from Ragnarok when his hammer got destroyed, which I know that you don't know, but you know.
I have no idea what you're talking about at this point.
Yeah, so this is for the nerds here. Yeah, so he had to build a new hammer. That's where Peter Dinklage comes into this movie. He's the big ogre-looking guy who makes him the new hammer. So, but once he gets that hammer, the CG looks really bad. So when he comes and saves the guys from the monsters, that CG looked really bad. So that kind of threw me off a little bit. But other than that, that's the only bad thing I have to say about this movie. But the interesting thing about this movie is we all know that this is like the beginning of the end for the Marvel Universe as we know it now. They've been leading up to it. It's been 10 years, as we know. So this is pretty much part one because it ends on a very cliffhanging note. At the end, a lot of the superheroes disappeared. But what's the cool fact about this is every hero that didn't disappear, because once Thanos gets the gauntlet completed with all six stones, he wants to eliminate half the people on this planet so they can survive and really never run out of resources is his main reason behind all this. The only superheroes that are left on Earth at that point in time are the original Avengers. So that is Captain America, that's Iron Man, that is Black Widow, I believe the Hulk's there, and Thor's there. So that's the original Avengers from the very first movie, Avengers. And I think the reason behind that is they have to make room for the new people, because these people can't play these characters at all times. So I think the next movie, which is exactly a year from now, which is Infinity War Part 2, whatever they're going to call it, because they haven't announced it yet, I think they're going to have to really sacrifice themselves for the new people. So like Spider-Man, for the Guardians of the Galaxy, for Doctor Strange, they're going to have to really sacrifice themselves to beat Thanos. That way the new people can take the new Avengers roles. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because we all know, all the Marvel nerds out there like me, we all know that the Avengers as they currently are something big is going to happen to them. I was hoping it would happen in this movie, but again, it's kind of a part one to part two thing. So it is the original Avengers that are left. So I'm thinking they're going to have to sacrifice themselves. There's a lot of fan theories out there on what's going on. Most of the stuff I'm not trying to read because I don't really want to. I don't want to ruin anything for me because right. there's a lot, you know, people that know a lot more about this stuff than I do.
Yeah.
So, I just think this is the most amazing thing. It's not my favorite movie, so I can't say it's the, you know, the greatest movie.
Right.
But just what they did in this movie is so mind blowing to me that everything made so much sense in this 19 movies. I don't think that'll ever happen again. It's never happened before, yeah. and I don't think it will ever happen again. Think of the big franchises out there. Harry yeah. Potter, 9 films. Lord of the Rings, 3 films. Star Wars, 8 films. You know what I mean? What's another big franchise out there?
I mean,
those are like the biggest. And now yeah. we have Marvel, which is just, it seems like every movie they come out with just sets the bar higher and higher. It makes
right.
more money.
Now, I mean, it's like, okay, so I saw this movie, I enjoyed it. But does it make me want to go back and watch the other 17 that I haven't seen? No. I mean, I'm not, it didn't turn me. I mean, I enjoyed it. I was jazzed to see Spider-Man again.
Yeah, which I have a lot of problems with his suit, by the way. His okay. suit looked awful. And Spider-Man is my favorite character in there. I love the kid. Tom Holland is
yep.
amazing. He's funny. He's
yes.
charming.
Yes.
But that suit, it's a full CG suit. And that suit just looks so bad. The entire movie, it looked so bad. It looked like a floating head on a computer screen, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't read that much into it. I mean, you obviously pick up on more detailed things than I do.
Hate it. There's a lot of people that like that suit, but I hated that suit. I thought it looked so bad. And I thought, we'll stay on Spider-Man real quick. You saw Homecoming and you saw Civil War, so you've seen everything that he's been in. That's the only two movies that he
yes.
ever showed his face in.
Yes.
Because Marvel got his rights from Sony, and that took a little while.
Yes.
So, do you think, and I want your opinion, do you think that he was kind of limited in this role? Did you feel like he was kind of like not the same personality as like a Homecoming or a Civil War? He wasn't as fun.
I agree. Yes, I do. I think that
excuse me.
The story, you know, that was developed for him for this movie kind of restricted kind of the Spider-Man that you saw in Homecoming. We didn't see the same Spider-Man, at least in my opinion, at least like personality-wise or just character-wise, we didn't see that in this movie like we saw it in Homecoming. I'm blanking on Civil War. I don't really remember.
He was in the big fight scene in Civil War. That's when he showed his face for the first time.
Okay.
But
I think I vaguely remember that.
Let me tell you why, because this is a fun fact about this movie. So Tom Holland, which is the real actor's name,
yes,
he got in trouble by Marvel and Disney for talking too much when
spoiling.
They were shooting.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. I saw
when
it.
They were shooting Homecoming.
Yep.
So for this movie,
they didn't tell
him
anything.
Read the script.
Nope. And they kept giving him fake scripts. When
yes.
When he asked to read the script, they kept providing him these fake scripts to test him, and he would go out and leak or, you know, spill the beans on these fake scripts. And then they would tell him, oh, well, that was a fake script. So, yeah, he was very kind of, you can't tell him anything. And that's kind of been the butt of all the jokes during their whole press tour when they're on all these talk shows. That always comes up now.
Yeah,
how he can't be trusted.
I think that really hurt his performance because
yeah.
he couldn't give his all because he didn't know what was going on.
Well, even so, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't know how serious they were, but I was watching one late night interview with them, And I believe that the majority of them have not even seen the film yet.
No, a lot of them didn't see the film until the screening. The first screening, most of them saw it for the first time.
But
But
I still don't know that Tom Holland saw it.
Marvel is so, because this was like the biggest spoiler movie they have ever done, because it shakes up the entire universe, not just like one particular character like other movies. Yeah, they're very shut mouth about this. They still haven't even announced the title for the fourth Avengers, which is part two pretty much of this, because they were afraid it would spoil this movie. And they
Right.
shot it back to back, so that movie's done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I respect that because I went into this movie blind. Like I said, I expected to like it, but I thought it was going to be everywhere. I thought, you would have to watch all 18 before this to understand it, because I thought all the plot lines were going to be crazy and not
Well, I
make
mean, that's
sense.
even
And
so. I mean, even when we walked in, I believe you told me, like, I really hope you're not confused during this movie.
yeah, because I knew you were going to bash it on this podcast if you were
Yeah,
very confused. But I mean, that just tells you how well this movie really did everything. If you, of all people, like the movie and understand what was going on, there's a bad guy, he wants to do this, there's a bunch of people. Now, I'm sure that you didn't understand like some of the little stuff, like Captain America and Tony Stark, so Iron Man, they had a big falling out in one of the movies. I believe it was Civil War. So this movie, they did not speak one time, and they were not on camera on the same time.
well, see, and that's like going back to the I at face value. I didn't read into all that stuff because I didn't know any of that stuff.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
I approached it as okay, this is just like any other movie. Let's see what it's about.
Yeah, it's
I
so
didn't have any
brilliant.
expectations because I didn't know anything.
Yes, but it also didn't throw you off. You
No.
still like you didn't think about it, so it didn't throw you off. It wasn't in your face like, "Oh, they hate each other, blah blah blah." There I think there was one scene where Tony Stark was like, "Should I call him?" talking about Cap,
Oh,
and he never called him. So
that's
Mark
yeah, you're
Ruffalo,
right.
which is the Hulk, was the one who called him.
Yeah. But I will say that the one character that I could not stand, who I don't really understand why he's around, is Doctor Strange. I thought he was annoying.
Okay.
I didn't see his point. All he did was wave his little hands around. I didn't like him.
So
I like Benedict Cumberbatch. I like him. I did not
Strange is
like
an interesting one. He is I'm not sold on him yet either necessarily. Now I saw the movie Doctor Strange. So his character is a dick. So like him in the movies are usually a dick, but it doesn't necessarily completely explain how he got all this power so quickly. Because in the Doctor Strange movie, he has a photographic memory. He's an actual doctor. That's why he's called Doctor Strange. So he messes up his hands in the movie. So he goes to this, he finds this weird cult little thing, this magical place. And that's where he learns magic. And in the movie, it happens so fast of how he got so powerful. And it kind of didn't make sense. But I guess that's just, how they put it together. So in Infinity War, yeah, he had a lot of responsibilities and not really a lot of explanation why. He had one of the stones, which is why he was such a big character.
Right, yeah.
That's how he could control time, because he had the time stone. But yeah, I get that. I feel like he was the most confusing for someone who didn't watch the movies on what he was doing, because that whole scene when he was like fidgeting a lot and he was going through like those spasms,
Oh, right, yeah. I
he
do
was
remember.
going through time seeing what outcome would work the best for the Avengers to beat
Well, I think
Thanos.
they actually said that in the movie
Yeah.
because didn't somebody was like, well, does your friend do that often? And I think one of the other superheroes was like, yeah, like he's, looking into the future now or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and he said there was 14 million possibilities and the
Yes.
Avengers only wins once.
One of them, yeah.
and then he gives up the stone to Thanos. So there's a plan behind that, because Doctor Strange is one of the people who disappear or die, however you want to look at it. But, you know, obviously he has a plan. In the second one, I'm sure it's going to really come to fruition. But obviously he has a plan, because he's seen the future. He's seen what needs to be done.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not a big Strange fan, period. I think the most screen time in this movie was Thor and Thanos. Thor was in this a lot. The Guardians of the Galaxy was in this a lot. And Thanos was in, you know, every other scene Thanos was in. And he was just brilliant. Just absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean... Go ahead.
The one thing that I wish we saw more of, and you know, it just we're hungry for the next one, is I wish we saw more of Spider-Man, and it just got me more excited for the next Spider-Man movie, whenever that may be.
Yeah, which is going to be, it is slated for after Infinity War 2.
Oh,
so
God.
The next we have up is Ant-Man versus the Wasp. Which Ant-Man wasn't in this movie at all. And then after that, we have Captain Marvel, which Captain Marvel has never been in any movies. So this is literally her first straight-up movie. And then it's the Avengers again. So, and I like that, because now we know, like, this, what happened in this movie, what happened at the end of this movie is for real, because there's no other movies until the next one. We have to finish it. Which I really like. I love this movie. I want to go see it again eventually. I'm going to probably buy it on Blu-ray, which I don't buy a lot of movies at all anymore.
Right.
I thought this was the most impressive movie I've seen in a long time, just from a plot standpoint, just from a writing standpoint. Like, you could tell that James Gunn wrote some of this for Guardians of the Galaxy. You could tell that the Russo brothers wrote some of this. You could tell that Kevin Feige had his hand on everything. Like, there's just so many working parts. Again, 64 fucking characters in this.
Mm-hmm.
So many working parts that it had no right to be as fluent and as paced as it was.
Right.
Like,
but I mean, it goes to show the craftsmanship and the work ethic that, you know, the whole production team had going into it. I mean, they didn't want to put out a shitty movie.
No.
I mean, because they knew how anticipated this was.
Well, what a lot of us nerds go back to is Spider-Man 3, the original Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire. The third movie, which this movie was very relatable to before people saw it, was like, you know, they had all these villains in there, and it was a fucking mess. Spider-Man 3 is like, it is voted one of the worst, like, superhero movies ever, because it was a complete mess. It had like 4 or 5 villains in it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't get 4 or 5 villains and Venom and Spider-Man in a movie together and make sense. So let alone 64.
Yeah.
And they nailed it. They just knocked it out of the park. All around. It's all around. Like, Wakanda was great. Black Panther showed up great. Everybody showed up great. The only... Groot, I think, was the most annoying, just because he's a teenager Groot right now. And he didn't, you know...
Nah, he was adorable. I mean, not knowing him, I thought he was adorable.
I love it. I'm blown away. We spoiled some... We scored a lot, but I didn't want to get too much in it. But that's just how we were talking, I guess. Do you have anything else to say? Because I think I'm done. I love it. Everybody go see it.
I don't have anything else to say about that. However, I do want to bring up, and I'm pretty sure you watched this previously. I want to maybe take a turn in the future on one of these episodes to, I don't know if you saw the news, 13 Reasons Why season 2 is coming out.
I did.
And I would like to talk about that. Yes, May 18th.
Okay.
I plan on binge watching it.
I will not binge watch it, but I would. I'll talk to you.
Okay.
Like, we can definitely do an episode.
Okay.
It takes me a lot longer to watch series like that.
Of course. Of course.
You know.
Yes.
But I love the first season. I'm definitely going to watch the second. So, yeah, we can talk about that. We can do, if you want to, we can do a whole, like, TV episode, if you want to.
That's fine, yeah.
I watch some stuff. I watch mostly anime, so.
Right.
And this season of anime, let me just interject here. This season is fucking phenomenal. Just want
to
say it.
To me.
I'm watching, like, 5 shows right now. And it is mind-blowingly phenomenal. So, all anime fans out there, I'm sure, are loving life right now. Because winter season of anime was trash. I didn't watch a single show in the winter season. So, trash. Absolute garbage. So, yeah, no, we can do that. That's in... that would probably be 2 episodes from now. We have to get back on our normal schedule.
Well, I mean, we'll wait until, like, you finish it up, too. I mean...
Well, we don't have to. I mean, as long as I get through, like, half of it, we can talk about it. I'll know enough. We'll be all right.
We'll see. We'll play by ear.
That'll probably be 2 episodes from now. So, the plan is this. This episode is going to be up on Wednesday. So, Wednesday the 2nd, because it takes a little while to get on iTunes, unfortunately.
You know that's tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put it up tonight,
okay,
which is Tuesday night, but iTunes usually takes about 24 hours before it actually loads up.
Okay.
Which is annoying. But, and then we will be back. We're going to try to get back on our Monday schedule. We would just, these last couple of weeks have just been terrible with sickness and house issues and all that garbage.
Yeah.
I really actually enjoy doing this.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
We just need to get back. So, 2 Mondays from now, we have, let's see, 2 Mondays from now is the 14th. So, we will be back on May 14th. So, until then, I'll see everybody then. Have a good night.
All right. See you.